Irma, you said that Ron graduated from the 8th grade at Green Valley School, but I don't remember about Bob. Where did he graduate from the 8th grade?
Well, Bob graduated from the E.A. Hall School in town.
Then he went to high school.
He continued with high school.
Okay. And also, before he got to high school, I'd like to step back a little bit and ask you, what did you do with five boys when they would come home from school?
That's a good question. We had fun.
Of course, they were all ages.
They were different ages. My husband was a wonderful father to all of them, and he managed to keep them busy so much of the time. He'd send different courses by mail, such as fly tying and leathercraft work, and various things, and they just loved it. Taxidermy work. In fact, our poor chicken suffered when they tied flies. However, they were all in scouting, and
was there a Boy Scout troop out here?
Oh yes. In fact, my husband at one time was a scout leader, and scout master, I should say. Bob, Ron, and Lloyd were the main ones that were interested in scouting. Bob attained rank of Eagle Scout, and also Emergency Service Corps during the war, of which Ted organized. And later Bob went into Sea Scouts before he went into the service. And Ron and Lloyd almost made Eagle Scouts, but they had other interests which took them away from their studies.
Irma, you mentioned an Emergency Service Corps. What's that?
Well, that was what my husband organized. It was that was called Emergency Service Corps, and that was during the World War II. And there were quite a number of boys that joined that. It was to teach them to be able to climb ladders and hand over hand pull themselves up a tall tree on a rope without using their legs. And I remember there was Charles Palmtag and the Hall Boy. I can't remember. There were quite a few of them that had done. And they used to come out here at the ranch and practice.
Okay. I remember that Ron went to Hartnell and drove the bus. Did he graduate from there?
Yes, he graduated from Hartnell. And both he and his wife to be graduated from Hartnell, and he and Joanne Bilby were married. I can't recall the exact date that they were married, but before he went into the service, Ron worked for Semicon. That's an electronic corporation that moved here from the east. He worked for them before he went into the service. And then little Judy was born April the 1st, 1954. So I would presume they were married in about 52.
Where did they live? In this area?
Well, they had a little house in town before Ron went east after, he was sent to Fort Devens, Massachusetts, to study specified electronics for Uncle Sam. And his wife and little Judy were there with him. And then later on, he was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And it was there that he delivered his little son on September 28, 1955, whom they call Randall Theodore, and Lyndon Randy for short. Would you like me to tell him about his return home now?
Sure.
Well, Ron and his family returned home in 1955 when Randy was about 5 months old. And from there, Ron was going back to college and He studied 2 years of forestry at Hart Mill, but now his interest went into electronics. And he was going back to college and study electronics. However, Semicon offered him a job, and it was a big decision for him to make. He asked us for our view on it, and we told him that was one decision he had to make for himself. So I guess it was the right thing, because he got in on the ground floor in the Semicon plant. He worked for Semicon, and Leo Cronin was the manager for a couple of years. And then Mr. Cronin and Ron Sugimoto and Ron started a plant of their own on Freedom Boulevard, which they called Spectromat Electronics, which manufactured cathodes mainly. And Ron was and still is vice president of that organization. They outgrew that plant, and then they built a larger plant off of Highway 1 near Airport Boulevard. And it's there at the present time, and they have expanded various times. And later on,
you were talking about Ron and his wife. Did they have any more children?
No, they just had the two. They later on became divorced, and after several years, Ron married another wonderful person. Both were and still are very dear to us.
What about Bob? We have forgotten about him. I assume that he attended Watsonville High School?
Yes. After he graduated from the eighth grade at age 12, he went in, entered high school. He went to high school, the 4 years of high school, and graduated at the age of 16. Before entering the service in 44, he worked for the U.S. Forest Service as a relief man on the lookouts in Santa Lucia, Los Padres Forest, until he was 18 years old. Bob trained at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, in instrumental survey. And he served his country in the Philippines in the Battle of Northern Luzon. The training period was very short before they sent the boys overseas, being that they had men on two fronts at that time.
Did he marry?
Yes, Bob returned home in August of 1946, and he then enrolled at Cal Poly to study aeronautical engineering. And he met a girl that he became very much in love with. And in August of 1947, he married Janet Dalvin from South Dakota. Bob resumed his studies at Cal Poly at that time, and his wife lived there with him. And it was there that Bob and Janet had their first child. As of now, Bob and Janet have 10 children. After graduating from Cal Poly, with high honors, he worked to the State Division of Forestry as assistant forest ranger and foreman. They bought their first home, a new home, on Archie Road at that time. Then in 1957, Bob went to work. Do you want me to tell about his decision?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In 1957, Bob went to work for Lockheed in Santa Clara and as a design engineer for missiles and so forth. While working full days at Lockheed, he attended San Jose State University at night. He got his degree after 4 hard years of study, and he graduated with great honors of distinction. And after 16 years with Lockheed, he felt that he was working for destruction, which was against his belief. It took him 2 or 3 years before he decided to quit there, and that was when he quit, that would cut off his total income for his family. And at that time, he had 8 children at home. It was a real hard decision to make. In fact, he called his family together, and they talked it over, and that was a decision they came to. Jana's wife was such a wonderful person, and was very supportive, a very supporting partner, and she deserved a great deal of credit because she stayed home and took care of the children, and at that time she couldn't work out. And Bob is now a writer and lecturer. In fact, he lectures all over the world in colleges and universities, and lecturing against nuclear war and for nuclear disarmament and freeze.
How did he manage financially when he quit Lockheed?
Well, it really wasn't easy. He did little odd jobs now here and there, and did some mechanical work. In fact, he still does mechanical work for the family and for his friends without charge. He thought about working for the city, but they wouldn't hire him because he was overqualified. And they had to give up a lot of their luxuries, you might call them, and live a different life. And Janet was a very good person. She could make a dish out of nothing practically. I shouldn't say that, because she said a real good table, and that she managed beautifully. And they had a television special about Bob's life and about the life he had lived before when he was working for Lockheed and had a real good income. And they managed beautifully until he began getting an income from his writing.
Do you remember the names of your 10 grandchildren?
Oh, yes. I would dare forget them. The oldest one.
The first one is Creston Gary. The second one is Jane Noreen. The third, James Theodore. The fourth, Daniel Joseph. The fifth, Kathleen Rose. The sixth, Terry Jean. The seventh, Mary Susan. The eighth, Diane Marie. The ninth, Nancy Joy, and the tenth, Mark Stephen.
Well, I must have had 10.
Yeah,
you did.
Has your son received some recognition that you'd like to speak about?
Well, yes, he has. He received the Martin Luther King Award a couple of years ago, and he's published several books. One of his books was bestseller for 2 years in Japan, and he has 2 more on the press now. And going back to the children are all now grown, their ages from 36 to 14 years. So Janet resumed her studies and is now teaching. And besides,
what about Bob? Does he have grandchildren?
Yes, he does. Besides their own 10 children, they have 11 grandchildren. You know, time marches on.
Now I'd like to go back to Ted, your husband. Where did he work when you moved out here to Green Valley and had the 5 boys?
Well, Ted drove a gasoline truck for Associated Oil Company for a while, and also Seaside for several years. And then in 1942, 43, and 44, he went to work for the U.S. Forest Service at Big Sur as a patrolman and ranger.
these were war years and very critical years. He patrolled the coast road by car and the beach and trails on horseback. He serviced the lookouts and the AWS stations, which are airplane watch stations, with the horse and pack mule. The roads weren't sufficient for the jeeps to get up to these tall lookouts.
Did you go down there with him?
Yes, the whole family went down. In fact, we took our chickens and our goat with us, and our dog, and our canary, and cat.
What happened here at this house? Was it empty?
This house was empty while we were down there, yes, uh-huh. Our quarters were just off of the Coast Highway, off Highway 1. And
what was the name of that station?
It was just a Big Sur.
Oh, Big Sur's
U.S. Forest Service station.
How long was he there?
He was there for 3 years, about almost 3 years, 42, 43, and 44. And we had a small house there. It was where he validated deer tags and issued licenses also. And he also had to ride the trails, which was sometimes I would go with him on horseback, and it was awful fun. We also swam the gorges there, Big Sur gorges.
What did he do then when he left the forestry?
I was going to tell you that there were several Japanese subs that had been sighted down on the coast while he was down there.
Mm-hmm. Did he actually see any, or was this hearsay?
No, he saw some, and the children and I also saw a couple. We used to come home every 2 weeks to take care of the yard here, and during the summer we'd can fruit. I'd stay up until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and can fruit. And we'd pick up soldier boys from Fort Ord and bring them to Watsonville, or pick them up, and on the way back, which we wouldn't dare do today. it's sad that you can't. But those were enjoyable years in the great outdoors.
Why did he leave the forestry?
Ron and Lloyd were with us there, and also the other little ones and my mother. And I just felt that during the first year he was there, I came home with the children, and it was so lonesome without him because he worked with pack mules in the winter time, carrying lumber and equipment up to Ventana Mountain to build a lookout up there. And when he found out how I felt, he decided that he better stay home during the winter. However, the next spring, the ranger from King City came and wanted Ted to come back again in 1943. Ted said, "Well, you talk to my wife." And Ted loved that work so much, so I consented to go back. And at that time, we only had two of the boys. Just had Lloyd with us besides our own. And my mother was with us also. And they went to school down there. The schoolhouse was located almost next door to the guard station. And I can't recall the teacher's name, but she was the wife of the park ranger. It was fun down there. We went to the campfires each night. All we had to do was slide down the embankment behind our guard station to get to the park.
And then you came back here.
Yes, we came back here, and after we came back to the ranch, Green Valley Ranch, and Ted went to work for the State Division of Forestry, and his headquarters was in Felton.
it was nearer home, and he was home practically every night except during fire season. He was foreman at Corlitas for a couple of years, and then he took the dispatcher's test and accepted a job in Visalia as dispatcher in 1952. That consisted of dispatching the fire trucks and equipment to fires, and which were many in Tulare County, and setting up fire camps and various things. Then in 1954, he decided to leave the forestry work entirely.
What did he do then?
Well, we decided it was time to take a vacation, so at that time we took a 2-month trip to the East Coast to visit our family. And Joanne and Skip were at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, so we bought a little camp trailer, and we took the northern route and returned the southern route, and we visited all the places of interest that we'd ever thought of seeing. We covered 10,000 miles, 33 states. We took many slides of pictures of autumn colors. They're just beautiful in the east. This is a trip I shall never forget. So many beautiful places to see and scenery right here in our own country. In fact, when we came home the next morning, there was a double rainbow across the sky.
When you came back here from your trip, what did you and Ted do?
After we returned, Ted studied real estate, and he worked for E.A. Hall Realty before accepting a job in San Jose as manager of the real estate office. At that time, I had started practical nursing and had nursed off and on. I've been nursing off and on voluntarily for years. In fact, I worked with Dr. Eiskamp when he first came to Watsonville and helped him deliver babies and so forth. I specialized at the Watsonville Hospital for a while until we went to, that was on Montecito Avenue. Until we went to San Jose, then I followed Ted over there, and I worked in O'Connor Hospital and San Jose Hospital, as well as in smaller ones. Also, I took home cases. In 1962, we moved to Ben Lomond and built our home there. There, Ted managed Assemblyman Glenn Coolidge's real estate office for 2 years. Then he opened his own office on Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. In Santa Cruz, I nursed mostly in private homes. Ted retired from real estate in 1970 and then moved back to our ranch in Green Valley and our 5.5 acres. He had a big garden in what we call the Lower 40. Also had a 2-acre home orchard to care for. And I retired from nursing in 72. God has been good to us. He blessed us with two wonderful sons, three wonderful daughters-in-law, 13 grandchildren, and 16 precious great-grandchildren. Also nieces and nephews. Our life has been full, some heartaches, but much joy and love. Very good. I also want to add a line about my dear husband. Oh, my man, I love him so, he'll never know. And so the song goes. I could search the universe, but I would never find another husband with as much love, compassion, and understanding as I have experienced with these 54 years with kids. Of course, we've had our ups and downs and our ins and outs, but our love is rooted so deeply that my injured feelings or grievances soon disappear. Being that I have worn my feelings on my sleeve all my life makes me more susceptible to heartaches. The kindness and love that Ted bestowed upon me and my family before our marriage has followed him throughout these years. Ted has his heart and door open to everyone, humans as well as animals.
He was so good to my dear little mother, who lived with us for 15 years. When Charles Herbert became crippled with arthritis, Ted welcomed him into our home for a long period of time. Little 3-year-old Lorraine made her home with us when she was deserted by her parents. Our 3 little nephews were welcomed into our household when their dad and mother separated, and they had no other place to go. After 4 years, their dad remarried, and the 2 younger ones lived with their dad and his wife. Lloyd, the eldest, cried to stay with us. We raised him as our own. He left home when he married at the age of 21. 2 of my uncles lived in our home with us for several years. So you see, I speak the truth when I say Ted has a heart of gold. Oh yes, also his dear mother and stepdad made their home with us for almost a year during the Depression. When God made Ted, he threw away the mold. Ted used to tease me by saying, "When I married you, honey, I married the whole family."